and welcome into Mashup, your number one source for sports gaming and everything in between. I am your host, Jake Patterson, and I thought I would be a lot more positive about Call of Duty. But every time this franchise takes a step forward, it takes about 20 steps back. Because let's start with the elephant in the room. The campaign is absolute shit. Like, I have never intentionally not finished a campaign in any Call of Duty game I've ever played. Like, the only one I didn't finish before this was Black Ops 2, and that's just because in the fall of 2012, I completely stopped playing video games for a couple months. Like, I completely stopped. Like, I did not have time. My friends weren't really playing Call of Duty anymore, which is annoying because that was Black Ops 2. It ended up being the last really good Call of Duty game. It ended up being the end of the Golden Age. Because the year after that, we got Ghosts. And Ghosts, I completely skipped. Along with Advanced Warfare, BO3, Infinite Warfare. I played World War II, which was awful. And I skipped BO4. Because it didn't have a campaign, and I wasn't going to pay $60 for multiplayer and a BR. Which, I have now paid $70 for multiplayer and zombies 5 years later, so egg on my face, because campaign is not worth the price I paid for it. Like, I don't even have it installed. I don't have the campaign packs installed. I played through the first two levels, started the third, said, this is shit. Closed out the game and uninstalled the campaign packs. That has been my experience with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 so far, is saying, this campaign sucks ass, I'm uninstalling it because it's taking up a crap ton of space on my hard drive, and now I'm just waiting for the almighty Activision to turn the multiplayer servers on for me. I can go on Twitch right now. I'm actually going to do that. I'm going to pull up Twitch. No. Mute the tab so it doesn't start playing my previous stream, and just injecting that directly into this video feed. But let's see. Scump has almost 13k viewers playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Nadeshot has 5.6. Yeah, Nadeshot has 5,600. Zuma has 17. And Octane has 500. Shotzi has 6,600. Yeah, this is... That's kind of ridiculous. That all of these people, you know, one of the best players of all time, one of the most popular players of all time, another one of the most popular players of all time, and another one of the most popular players of all time, can all access the multiplayer servers, but I can't for some arbitrary reason of, oh, we're regionally rolling it out. Like, the servers are active. Why can't I play? I would have a lot higher praise for this game if I had been able to play multiplayer for the last... Like, I didn't even need to start playing it at midnight. It would be nice if I had full access to multiplayer for the last 16 hours, I wouldn't be this angry. Because I have already played multiplayer. I've played the beta. It's really good. It's probably the best COD game in a decade. Like, straight up. That's not a high bar to clear. But it's probably the best COD multiplayer in a very long time. It's just what Black Ops Cold War should have been had the dev team been in the studio together. Like, it's just, you know, it's everything that Cold War did right with better movement, aka like a really good modern COD shooter. But now instead I'm complaining about this god-awful campaign and the fact that I can't access multiplayer despite it currently being 20 minutes until 5 on launch day. when all these streamers, all these big streamers, and plenty of other people, I mean, they're all sweating their asses off, because I was watching Octane stream. It was all CDL skins and tree skins just slide canceling all over the freaking place in his lobbies. So it's a sweaty mess in multiplayer right now. But if the rest of us could play, that would dilute the sweatiness. Look, like I can sweat my ass off in multiplayer too. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not that good. But I can lock in like that, like use the meta gun, just like hold an angle, call everything out. Like I can sweat in multiplayer too. It doesn't lead to the same results, but I can do it. Also, when did the term switch from tryhard to sweat? Because it used to be tryhard. God, I'm aging myself with this conversation. But it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. At least I have adapted. It's like, when did tryhard die and sweat take over? Because they mean the same thing. But, like, with all slang terms, you never really realize when one dips out until you completely stop using it. Like, when one just completely drops out of use. Like tryhard was a big one. Like tryhard, I heard that a lot in Call of Duty. I heard it a lot in Halo. Like, I heard that word, that term all the time. And now it's sweat. They both mean the same thing. Why did we change the terms? I mean, sweat sounds more insulting than tryhard, but still. I will admit, sweat sounds way more insulting than tryhard. Like, it's way punchier, too. I like it better. It's just, when did the switch happen? But yeah, let's talk about this campaign. I'm going to spoil things so you don't have to suffer through this campaign. Because that's what I did. I just went and watched YouTuber playthroughs of it. And I was like, yeah, that was really dumb. Because most of the game is what they call open combat missions, which is really just an excuse to reuse Warzone assets and throw a bunch of AI in. It's like, if I wanted to play Warzone, which I don't even need my hands to count the number of times I have wanted to play Warzone in the past 3 years. Spoiler alert, that number is zero. I don't need my hands to count that number because it is nothing. The number is zero. Like if there were negative times you wanted to do something, if that was even mathematically possible, it would be a negative number. So keep this intrusive Warzone shit out of campaign. When I play a COD campaign, I want an over-the-top military shooter. Like, I want a comedically over-the-top military action shooter. Like, with explosions that would put Michael Bay to shame. Yet somehow you get Howard Shore as composer. Or not Howard Shore, Hans Zimmer. Yet somehow you still manage to get Hans Zimmer as composer. Like, that's what I want from a COD campaign. I want moments like the opening level of Modern Warfare 3, the original one from 2011. I want moments like that. Where you swim through the Hudson River. Swim through the Brooklyn Tunnel. The collapsed Brooklyn Tunnel, because that happened. Sneak on board a Russian submarine while it's still underwater, detonate a bunch of charges on it to force it to the surface, sneak on board, fight your way to its bridge, and fire its entire arsenal of missiles at the Russian Navy that is sitting in New York Harbor. And then I want to escape on a speedboat and use an aircraft carrier as a ramp. Like, that's what I want for my COD campaigns. I don't need realism. I want stupid. I want stupid. That is what I want. And also, like, Makarov reframing this version of No Russian as the ULF is so much less evil. Like, we know the ULF to be good guys. Like, we, the player, know the ULF to be good guys. I don't know if the world would realize that. Because in 2019, they were declared a terrorist organization by General Shepard. I think that has since been undone. But in 2019, the ULF was declared just as much a terrorist organization as Al-Qaeda. I don't know if you remember the Modern Warfare 2019 campaign, but that happened. So I don't think, like, that's so much less evil. Like, it's still royally fucked. Like, it's still so fucked. But it was also a lower casualty attack because it was just a single plane, not an entire airport. And he framed a group that even parts of the Western world would, incorrectly so, but would still view them as terrorists. Meanwhile, the original No Russian, the whole point of No Russian is that they spoke English the entire time and were using NATO weapons. Like, I remember your loadout on the No Russian mission. You had an M429 SAW and you had an M4 assault rifle. Those are NATO weapons. 5.56 rounds. And the people with thick Russian accents avoided speaking and everyone else spoke English the entire time. So, like, it was, and, like, Makarov shoots Joe Allen in the face and leaves him there, and everyone's like, oh, this is a CIA agent. The Americans did this. Like, this version of No Russian is, this version of No Russian could be seen as just a terrorist attack. Like, a very bad terrorist attack because it blew up a plane. Like, the original No Russian was an act of war. This No Russian is, like, it's still shocking because, you know, Makarov straps a bomb vest to an innocent woman and it's still, like, horrifying because she's trying to get to the phone to defuse it, but, like, they've just been trying to repeat the shock value of No Russian for 14 years and they haven't done it. Like, they've just completely, they've consistently tried to recreate No Russian. And, like, the original No Russian is still the most iconic. Not always for good reasons, because, you know, it's, you know, you're actively shooting up an airport. Like, that's part of the shock value, is that you, the player, are an active participant in an act of terrorism. Like, you are an active participant in a war crime. Because the player character in that level is an Army Ranger turned CIA operative. Like, you are an active participant in a war crime. In the new No Russian, you're a victim of a terrorist attack who gets framed. Like, see how that doesn't have the same punch to it? Like, I know this sounds incredibly fucked up, but, like, it's true. One, they're all code. Like, they're not real people. The visuals of it are horrifying. Like, I was 14 when I played the original Modern Warfare 2 for the first time. And when I heard that elevator ding, and Makarov just looked at me and said, "Remember, now Ratchet." And everyone opened fire on an airport full of civilians. I was like, oh God, this is horrifying. Because it was terrifying. Like, nothing about this campaign had the same punch as the original MW2 or the original MW3. Like, in the original MW3, you have, like, a last stand in Paris on, like, right over the Seine River. And you watch the Eiffel Tower come down. Like, you're in a war zone in the middle of Paris, and you watch the Eiffel Tower collapse. Like, nothing like that happens in this campaign. Nothing even close to that happens in this campaign. Like, they tried to, with the, in the original MW3, they tried to recapture No Russian with the gas attacks in London. That was a disappointing pale, like, it was horrifying, because it was really fucked, but again, you don't have the active participation, which made No Russian all the more visceral. Original MW3's got pretty close, because you had that American family vacationing in London, and then you're taking control of the father with just, like, the home camera. That one came pretty close to being like, God, okay, that's terrifying. And then you had, like, the big battle in London, which was really fun. That was a really fun level. Like, playing as the SAS in London was really cool. Like, that was a really cool. Most of the stuff that took place in Europe in Modern Warfare 3 was really cool. And, like, the beginning, the second level in the U.S. Because, like, fighting through the city was whatever. It was pretty cool, but fighting through D.C. was more fun in original MW2. See, I'm just talking about the old games, because I hate this game so much. I hate this campaign. I do like the multiplayer, just haven't been able to fucking play it. But I got completely sidetracked from my point that the reason this campaign sucks is because it completely ignores the basic principles of a 3-act structure. Like, it barely reaches the climax of Act 2 setup of a 3-act structure. Like, honestly, it hits the midpoint. Because you have the beginning with Makarov breaking out of jail, you have the inciting incident of the missile launch, then you get to the midpoint where Soap dies, and then the game ends. And, like, sure, you get the mid-credit scene where Price assassinates General Shepard, which, again, nowhere near as satisfying as the original. Because, like, you're Price, and he's kicking Soap's ass, and you pull the knife out of your chest and throw it straight in his eye. And, like, the original Shepard was just a better villain across the board. Like, the original Shepard was such a better villain. And, like, the one semi-satisfying conclusion from MW2 gets undone because apparently Graves isn't dead. Like, we saw that in a season cutscene from MW22, but still, the fact that Graves isn't dead, and he suffers no consequences for anything he did in MW22. He suffers zero consequences, and neither does Shepard. No actual consequences, because Shepard gets assassinated by Price, but... D- did they really just kill Soap because, oh, it's Modern Warfare 3, so Soap has to die? Because that's what happened in the original? Oh my god. Infinity Ward should never be allowed to make a campaign again after that. Because they haven't made a good campaign in 4 years. And that campaign, the Modern Warfare 2019 campaign, wrote a lot of checks that the last two games could not cash. So, hopefully, that was 20 minutes of me ranting about this game. Hopefully, I have a better opinion of this game come next week after I finally get my hands on the frickin' multiplayer and can actually enjoy that. But, yeah. For now, like, I know I'm going to like the multiplayer because I already played it. I played the beta and they only made a few changes. But for right now, like, I'm really mad that I spent $70 on this game. But, just Activision. Actually, now that you're in charge, I can direct this to someone who will actually take action. Microsoft, never let Infinity Ward make a campaign again. Like, they've lost their touch. Like, never let Infinity Ward make a campaign again. They have completely lost their touch. Let Treyarch handle all of the story stuff going for it. Which sounds insane, but honestly, like, at least let Treyarch writers work on the story. Like, let Treyarch writers write the story from now on. And only Treyarch writers. Like, every campaign will just be a Treyarch production. Every single one. As far as the writing team. Because Infinity Ward doesn't know how to make good ones anymore. And never, ever, 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 ever put this Warzone shit in campaign ever again. I don't want to be managing my fucking armor plates while I'm playing campaign. Campaign is supposed to be over the top and stupid. I don't want to be constantly sticking armor plates in my chest. Ugh. I don't want to be managing my loadout. I just want to, like, have a gun. I want to have a gun that is right for this particular mission, and if I need to swap, I can pick up one from a dead end. I don't want to be worrying about my loadout drops in campaign. Get all that crap out of campaign for the next one, which is going to be a Treyarch game, so I expect that one to actually be good. Like, I expect the next COD game to actually have a good campaign, because it's Treyarch, and they're working out of their studios again. The fact that Cold War even had a decent campaign is a miracle, given the circumstances, so I'm excited to see what they do. But that is a discussion for next year, and I don't want to... The game's not even fully out yet, and I'm already falling into the COD cycle. We gotta move on. That's it for Call of Duty. Up next, we are going to talk my favorite thing. Truly my favorite sport. College basketball. It's coming up next here on The Mashup. Hey, do you really like The Mashup and want to help support it even more?
Of course I do. You're so awesome.
Well, do I have good news for you. I now have a Barstool Sports Store affiliate link.
Oh, what the heck is that?
An affiliate link is a link that takes you directly to the Barstool store, but has some extra coding in it to let them know that I sent you, so I get some of the money from the sale in return.
That's so cool!
Yes, it is, and it helps me put out better and better content for you! And maybe does enough to get Barstool's attention that they'll give me a job. All you have to do is go to barstool-sports.pxf.io/themashup. That's barstoolsports.pxf.io. .pxf.io/themashup and get some merch. Doesn't matter what you get, you'll be supporting me and the mashup. And you get a cool t-shirt, hoodie, flag, or whatever else you want in return. So go to barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup today and help me grow this podcast even more. Okay. I have calmed down. Let's talk some college basketball. It is very early in the season. I can't really make any kind of solid prediction about what's going to happen. this year, like, at all. I mean, it's pretty safe to say that the teams who were good last year will remain good this year. But that's about it. That's as far as like actual predictions for this season, I have no freaking clue. Because all of the good teams play teams who are well beneath them. I think Kansas State might have. Yeah, I think they lost their best player here. No wonder they are not ranked. They got their asses beat by USC. Yeah, it's hard to judge. Other than, hey, Michigan State, what the fuck was that? Opening night, home opener. You're top five. You are number four in the country, playing at home against James Madison. And you lose by three in overtime. The fact that you needed overtime against James Madison and still lost is more than a little concerning, Michigan State, because last year I remember you weren't supposed to be all that good and competed with Gonzaga on the deck of a warship, on the deck of a military vessel with the sun in your eyes and wind to contend with, which is not normally a thing that one considers when playing college basketball. So I don't know what the hell happened to Michigan State. They are tipping off again in about 2 hours from when I'm recording this against Southern Indiana. So hopefully they can get back on track and get a much needed win as again the number four team in the nation. They're obviously not going to still be in the top five when the new polls come out next week, because as it stands, hey, this is last year. This has last year's record. That's very strange. Yeah, Providence is currently number one in the RPI, which is shocking, to say the least. I think Kansas will stay number one. But yeah, Michigan State will probably not remain in the top five. I think UConn at least is going to jump them, because you know they're reigning national champions and all. But yeah, it is so early to say anything about this season other than like the first big stupid upset of the year, which is the James Madison Dukes going on the road to East Lansing and beating Michigan State on their home court. Honestly, JMU, that is more impressive than anything your football team has done over the last 2 years. Literally. More impressive than any single thing your football team has done since moving to FBS. Like, not a shred of sarcasm in my voice. That is the most impressive thing your athletic department has done in the last 2 years. Because the football team does not have a win of that quality on their resume. Like, not even close. So, yeah, that's that was an interesting wrinkle to start the season. I can't say I expected that, mostly because I included Michigan -16.5 in a parlay that lost real bad because VCU didn't cover either. God dang it. UMBC was the only one who UMBC was the only one who did their job, and they also lost, but they at least covered. I know one thing. Louisville's going to be really bad this year because they managed to beat UMBC, but just barely. And Ryan Odom's new team, they didn't win. Yeah, Ryan Odom is the coach of the VCU Rams now, if you were not aware. If you were not aware of that fact, that Ryan Odom took the job at VCU. They lost by 9 to McNeese State, again, at home. So, yeah, early in the season, Florida Atlantic looks to be still pretty good. They actually got, like, a decent win against Loyola Chicago at the Barstool Invitational, which was in Chicago. So, also impressive there. They're in the American. Thank God. I thought they were in CUSA. Thank God they're in the American. I was so worried Liberty was going to have to play them. They're in the American. Oh my God, it's wonderful. They're in the American. I'm so happy. I'm so happy they're in the American and not in CUSA. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I think they were in CUSA last year, but they are no longer, and it's wonderful. But it is like I said, it's so incredibly early in the season. It's hard to say anything about anyone, because like, what do we really know from all these non D1 or these like highly ranked Division I teams playing teams that are well beneath them? Like, who the hell is Le Monnier? Or I think it's just LeMoyne. They're playing Villanova on Friday night. At the Pavilion. What could that game possibly tell us about Villanova? Like, a bad team from the NEC. What could that game possibly tell us about them? Or they just beat American, a team from the Patriots. Like, what could that possibly tell you about Nova? Like, they're going to play Maryland next week. That's actually a good game. I'm guessing that's part of the Gavin games. I would assume that's part of the Gavin games. Because is the ACC Big Ten Challenge even a thing anymore? Oops. Not looking like it, because I don't see an ACC team on Maryland's schedule. Like, they got Davidson, they got Nova, they got UMBC, South Alabama, Ryder, and then Big Ten Conference play starts in December with Indiana and Penn State before a couple more non-conference games, and then getting right back to Big Ten action in January. So yeah, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, no longer a thing. But like, Villanova, Maryland, that will actually tell us something about both teams. If Maryland wins that game, they should be ranked. Because they're going on the road and beating a ranked Villanova team. But yeah, or look at this one on Saturday. Stonehill versus UConn. What could that game possibly tell us about UConn? They're going to win by 40. What league is Stonehill even in? They're also in the NEC. The NEC is not a good league. And like, UConn's going to win that game by 40. But despite all this complaining about these really bad games at the beginning of the season, because they are terrible. Like, when does Battle for Atlantis start? Battle for Atlantis is usually Thanksgiving week, right? Let me Google that, because I'm pretty sure that is usually... Yeah, Battle for Atlantis is college basketball tournaments. When is it this year? AtlantisBahamas.com? Or is this just... This is literally just a link to Atlantis Resort. But it does have the Battle for Atlantis. Okay, like, there's some actual good teams at this. Arkansas, Michigan, Memphis, UNC, Stanford, Texas Tech, Northern Iowa, and Villanova. Like, that's the men's lineup at the Battle for Atlantis this year. When is it? Does it have the dates? Where the heck are the dates? All right. But now that I know the teams, I can check their schedules. Now that I know the teams, I can check their schedule. Let's check. Wait. Nope, it doesn't. Yeah, at Texas Tech, which I'm assuming on November 22nd, this is probably, yeah, ESPN Networks. Okay, so this is the Battle for Atlantis, November 22nd. And Wednesday the 29th against St. Joe's. So that's probably back at home in Philly, because that's a, yeah, okay. So it is, I would assume, Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's Thanksgiving week. So yeah, we'll have to wait a couple weeks for some decent tournaments, but they will be there. And I love the Battle for Atlantis. It always looks like so much fun. Like, I want to go one year so bad. It's a super expensive trip because it requires going to Nassau, but yeah, I desperately want to go to Battle for Atlantis. Even if Liberty's not playing in it, I just want to go. I hope within the next few years, Liberty will get invited to the Battle for Atlantis, because that would give me an excuse to save money and go to this thing. But let's drop all pretenses and let the biases fly at the end of the segment, like I tend to do. Again, first game of the season told me basically nothing about what I could expect from this Liberty team. They won by 60. Like, I didn't even think that was possible, to win a basketball game by more points than there are minutes on the game clock. Like, they won by 60. I got something called Mid-Atlantic Christian. That sounds more like a high school. Like, Mid-Atlantic Christian. That sounds more like a high school. Because, like, where I went, Tri-State Christian, that was a high school. Mid-Atlantic Christian sounds like they should be one of my high school's rivals. Like, they shouldn't be playing against Liberty. I think it actually is Mid-Atlantic Christian University, but still, just, like, the name on the app is Mid-Atlantic Christian. That literally sounds like a high school. That sounds like a high school I would have played against in 2012, and it would have actually been a good game. But yeah, they won by 60. Like, they scored more. Like, think about it this way. If you take away either half of Liberty's scoring, they still win. Like, in the first half, they scored 48. If they didn't score a single point in the second half, they still win by 5. I would be very mad at them for not scoring a single point in the second half against a non-Division I school, but they would have still won by 5. And if they only scored in the second half, if they only scored their second half points, they would have won by 12. Coming to a final score of 103-43. Actually, there is one thing. This team can survive without Darius McGee, which I already knew that. Like, yeah, they still have good players. They still have Kyle Rode. They still have Colin Porter. They still have Brody Peebles. They still have Joseph Van Zant, who I'm pretty sure is just a sophomore. Actually, Colin Porter is too, as far as I know, which is insane. He's going to be really good. And like Zach Cleveland, Kyle Rode, and the new guy, Caden Matheny. Like, Liberty fans, I know we all miss Darius McGee because, you know, he's the best basketball player the school has ever seen. I think we're all really going to like Caden Matheny. And Twitter seemed to agree with me when I said that. So, Flames Twitter seemed to agree with me when I said that. So, I'm excited to see what he has to offer against a real team when they play Charlotte tomorrow, which is Friday, if you're listening to this after the fact, like after Friday afternoon when this game is over. But, I'm excited to see what he can do against a real team because he only had 5 points. Like, him and McKay were both holding back because they knew they were going to win this game by 60. But, yeah, I am very excited for college basketball season to be here. I'm very much expecting a tournament berth for Liberty just because, like, that's just what they kind of do is they go in. Like, last time they joined a new conference, they joined the ASUN and then just immediately won all the championships. They have seemingly been doing the same thing in CUSA. It's just coming in and winning all the championships. Like, they won women's soccer. They didn't win men's soccer in the Ohio Valley, which is annoying, but that's whatever. The football team is hosting the CUSA championship on December 1st. And I strongly suspect that Liberty has a very good chance of winning the CUSA championship in basketball. Because that's just kind of what they do. They should have won the ASUN championship last year if the refs weren't trying to help Kennesaw, which I will never forget. Like, that, the performance by those refs in that game was inexcusable. Straight up. And I, like, much like I said last year, or last season after it happened, I wish Kennesaw State fans nothing but misery now that their coach and all of their best players have left. And their football team is absolute ass. Which is, again, hilarious. Because they are stumbling their way into CUSA next year, and it's not going to be pretty for them. Unlike the ASUN, CUSA is actually a decent basketball conference, and their coach and all their best players are gone before they even left the ASUN. God, it's beautiful. But, you know what? I'm going to throw an early prediction out there. I think... And I'm not going to be biased. I'm not going to say Liberty is going to win the national championship because I don't think that's going to happen. Do I think they have a shot at the Sweet 16? Maybe. And I would be very happy with that. I'd be very happy to see this team make the Sweet 16 for the first time ever. The women's team's made the Sweet 16 before, but the men's team never has. Like, the men's team only has one tournament, and we still celebrate. Like, that game supplies most of the gifts we use for basketball season. But I'm going to throw a prediction out there. I'm going to say the national champion this year, I'm not going to just straight up say it's going to be the team who's currently ranked number one and say it's Kansas, because I don't think it's going to be Kansas. They've underperformed the last couple tournaments, and Bill Self's knocking on the door of retirement, despite just apparently signing a lifetime contract, which is never a good idea. Who do I think is going to win the national championship this year? I don't think it's going to be Duke either, because I don't think let's just look at the top 25. I don't think it's going to be any of the top five. I don't think it's going to be Kansas. I don't think it's going to be Duke. It's definitely not going to be Purdue. Like, Farley Dickinson released the blueprint on how to beat Purdue is just play small ball. Like, play small ball and run circles around them because Matt Painter is stuck in the 80s. Who do I want to give this to? Honestly? Or Houston. With Kelvin Sampson. That's a really good Houston team. And they're playing in the Big 12 now, so they're actually going to get, like, serious competition during the regular season. Oh, my God. Yeah. I might have to go dark horse here and say I think Houston has a chance to win the whole thing. Gonna put that out there. I think the Houston Cougars might win the national championship this year. It's kind of a dark horse pick, but like that's an if you know you know pick because you know they're really good. Because Kelvin Sampson is a really good coach and he's built a really good program there, and now they're in the Big 12. So yeah, I think I'm gonna go with the Houston Cougars. Like that is, I reserve the right to change that prediction come bracket time, but like my initial just gut feeling prediction is I think we're gonna see the Houston Cougars raise the national championship trophy come April. But that's what I got for college basketball. Up next, we're going to switch gears over to college football and then wrap up the show. Coming up next, we're on the Mashup. Now, welcome back to the Mashup. Let's wrap things up here with some college football. And, you know, I'm just going to roll right on with my biases because it's the thing that's been on my mind the most the past week. Playoff committee. What exactly have you been smoking? Because last time I checked, Liberty is 9-0. There are multiple 3-loss teams in your current top 25. Including LSU, who just lost their quarterback and got their asses handed to them by the Crimson Tide. And honestly, don't have that impressive of a schedule. Because they played Florida State, got their asses kicked. They barely beat Arkansas. They lost to Ole Miss. They beat Missouri by 10. Beat Auburn by 30. That's actually pretty good. Congratulations, you beat West Point by 62. At home, but West Point's not all that good this year. So why does a 3-loss team with not a single ranked win on their schedule? Because was Missouri ranked when they played them? I highly doubt it. Oh, they weren't. Okay. But yeah, they lost to Ole Miss, who was ranked lower than them at the time. They barely beat a pretty below average, actually, Arkansas team. Got their asses kicked by Florida State to open the season. And sure, Florida State's in the top four now, but no real impressive wins there. Nothing that's jumping off the page to justify putting a 3-loss team in 19th place in the top 25. Notre Dame. Same thing. I mean, they're 7-3. Impressive win over Duke. That's about it. Win over USC, but USC has proven the last couple weeks they're not actually all that good outside of Caleb Williams because their defense is steaming hot garbage. What's that? A loss to Clemson, who are average at best this year. Nothing all that impressive about Notre Dame. They kept it close against Ohio State, but they still lost. What is with all these 3-loss teams? Iowa. They're 7-2. I don't even think they're playing the same sports as the rest of us. Look what they did against the one good team they have played, Penn State. They lost 31-0. But they played in the Big Ten. Yeah, they played Utah State, Iowa State, Western Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Wisconsin, and Minnesota and Northwestern. Whoop-de-frickin'-do. Like, the Cubs had the highest scoring game at Wrigley this year. By a significant margin. And Iowa and Northwestern played football at Wrigley this past weekend. Tulane, they're 8-1. They're in the American. The American's a better conference, but barely beating North Carolina. Barely beating a 1-8 North Carolina team. Really? They also barely beat Rice. They beat North Texas by a touchdown. North Texas haven't been good in a long time. They beat Memphis by 10. Okay, Memphis is actually pretty good. They played Nicholls. They played Nicholls State. They played UAB. They played Southern Miss. They lost to Ole Miss by 17. That's not terrible. But why are so many three-loss teams? Arizona. Arizona's a three-loss team. Northwestern Arizona, Mississippi State, Texas El Paso, Stanford, Washington, a loss. USC, a loss. Washington State, pretty dominant win. Oregon State and UCLA. Biases aside, that's not worthy of being number 21. It's really not. Like, committee, what are you smoking? What else does Liberty possibly have to do? Like, I get you just keep winning and it'll be fine, but I think this entire fan base would all appreciate the recognition. I'm glad you didn't do the stupid thing and rank JMU, even though they're completely ineligible for the postseason. They'll probably still get in, but I'd rather play in a New Year's Six Bowl than play against them. Because, you were finally smart enough to drop Air Force after they kind of crapped the bed. Like, they're going to win the Mountain West, but they're not good enough to be in the playoff rankings. Like, they're not the best G5 champion, even if they do win. But yeah, this is really freaking annoying, but I'm going to move on because I could rant about this for several more minutes. Speaking of things I can't rant on for several more minutes, because it's just so many twists and turns, is the Michigan cheating thing. Because now it's like, oh yeah, everyone cheats. And that's Michigan's defense, by the way. Michigan's defense is, oh yeah, everyone cheats. And Ryan Day hired his PI brother to investigate Michigan, which is also illegal. Like, that's also an NCAA rules violation. God, college football is dumb. College football is so freaking dumb. And I love it. But my God, is it dumb. And like, I pointed it out already, I refuse to believe that Iowa and Northwestern were playing the same sport that like Washington and USC or Bama and LSU. Washington-USC was actually the better game because it was a show until the very end. Mostly. Washington started to pull away at the end there when USC's defense kind of fell apart at the end of the game because they're not actually that good. But Washington-USC was a better show for much longer because once Daniels got injured, LSU didn't really stand a chance on the road against Bama, which is unfortunate, but it's true because Daniels was the whole reason they won that game last year. But yeah, I refuse to believe, I refuse to acknowledge the fact that Iowa and Northwestern, who managed a grand total of 17 points between the two of them, were playing the same sport where the live total at halftime was 104.5. And they just barely missed hitting that total. What was the closing total? Because they blew that out of the water. Yeah, the closing total was 75.5. Actually, no, the 52-42, the total is 94. But still, the fact that at halftime, the live total was a radio station. 94.5, or Actually, 94.5 would be the actual total in the game. 94.0. That is, let's just look that up, because I'm sure that's a radio station somewhere. Yeah, Orange 94.0. It is a real radio station. It's an independent radio station, but a radio station nonetheless. Actually, let's look it up this way. 94.0 FM. Yeah, there are a few there are a few 94.0 FM radio stations that exist. Or I'm sure this one exists. The live total, 104.5. Yeah, Alt 104.5. It's a it is an alt rock radio station in Philadelphia. It's also a sports talk station in Nashville, a country station in Fredericksburg, an ESPN station in Baton Rouge. It's a news station in Jacksonville. It's a adult contempo station in Omaha. So yeah, like the live total on that game was literally a radio station. Didn't hit it, but still. That's insane to me. That at halftime of the game, you could bet that the score would be over a radio station frequency. And people actually bet that. I saw people betting that, which my condolences to them, because I really thought that would actually hit the way that game was going in the first half. But in other more local to me news, they're not my primary team anymore, and they haven't been since since like my junior year when they were consistently getting worse as Liberty was getting better. It's like, okay, this is the perfect time. Like, Liberty became my primary team as soon as I got accepted. But like I completely jumped off the Maryland wagon when even before Jordan McNair died. But then when that happened, I was like, okay, I'm done with these losers. See ya. But as someone who still has some lingering, like, oh yeah, this is always where I wanted to go growing up, and like this is where I'm from. This is our only P5 institution in the entire state. Because there's a couple other D1s in Maryland, but like Loyola, Mount, and UMBC all don't have football teams. I don't think Maryland Eastern Shore does either. And much like Morgan State, who does have a football team, I don't think I would really fit in with their fan base. I think I'm a little too pale for that. I would not fit in as a fan of an HBCU. Like, I would not. Like, they have a culture that, like, white guys just do not understand. And like, I respect the hell out of them for it. Like, their games look like an awesome party, but I feel like that is not for me. That belongs to their community. Like, I'm trying not to sound racist here. Please don't take what I just said as racist, because I don't mean it that way. It's more like, no, I would not fit in at an HBCU town. I'm sure I would be welcomed with open arms, but it would still be like, no, I belong in Liberty. I belong at a Liberty tailgate. I'm sure the food at a Morgan State tailgate is probably incredible, though. Might be kind of spicy, but I'm sure walking past a Morgan State tailgate probably smell amazing. But yeah, like, and like Loyola, the school that I actually have family connections to, does not have a football team. So yeah, like Maryland's like the one team I really grew up with. Like, I grew up with Loyola too, but I didn't even realize they were D1 until they made the tournament like 2011. But, because that's how small Loyola Maryland is. And again, they don't have a football team. And their basketball arena is only slightly bigger than a high school gym. It's very nice, but it's only a little bit bigger than the high school gym. But all that to say, like, I still have some lingering attachment to Maryland football. I've mostly severed that connection, but like, I still follow a lot of Maryland fans on Twitter, and it's just sad to see. It's like, as likable of a guy as Mike Locksley is, it's time for him to go. Like, he is not the guy to lead this Maryland football program to be literally anything good. Now, keep your grubby turtle hands off of Jamie Chadwell. He belongs to Liberty. Like, he's our guy. We found our guy. You go find yours. Like, poach one of Lance Leipold's assistants or something. Or the guy from Duke. Poach one of his assistants, because I don't think you're going to get him. Because I think when Harbaugh inevitably gets fired, one of the two of them is going to Michigan. Personally, I think it's going to be Leipold, because I think he is the better coach, and he deserves to be at a school that actually gives a shit about football. Because even though Maryland gives more of a shit about football than Kansas does, it's only a little. Like, Maryland's still a basketball school. And that's why I'm glad they found Kevin Willard. One, because I think he's the right fit for Maryland, just like as a college basketball culture. But it also means they keep their grubby little turtle hands off of Richie McKay. But, yeah, Maryland, it's time to move on from Locksley. You have competent administration now, both academic and athletic. So maybe go out and find a coach that actually knows what he's doing and isn't just a really good recruiter and a nice guy. Like, find a really good recruiter who is also a nice guy and is a good coach, because You've yet to beat a ranked team since joining the Big Ten. I think you've beaten Penn State like twice. And one of those was in 2020, when James Franklin didn't even want to be playing, and his family was in Florida without him. So yeah, it's time to move on from Mike Locksley. As great of a recruiter as he is, as nice of a guy as he is, it's time to move on. Hey, I don't know who your next coach is going to be, but you need to go find somebody. Because the Locksley thing is not working. As much as I don't like James Franklin, Kevin Anderson should have never screwed him over. Like, if Kevin Anderson wanted to fire Friggin, just fire Friggin and promote James Franklin right then and there. Don't go hire Randy Etzel, and don't send the football program down this awful path they've been going down the past decade. But yeah, I'm glad I'm a Liberty fan now, because we've got our guy. I don't think he's leaving anytime soon, and we're doing a whole lot of winning. So that's what I got for college football and the show this week. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all enjoy your rest of the week. For the gamers out there, I hope you all enjoy the Modern Warfare 3 launch this weekend and the Halo Infinite Combined Arms event next week, because I am still going to play that, because I'm very intrigued by all the cool stuff they're going to add with the Operations Pass. But yeah, that's it for the show this week. Hope you all enjoyed, and I will talk to you guys next time. Peace.